A lesson this evening as we continue our series through prayer. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 5. Jesus says, "Whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by people. Amen, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your private room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what others cannot see will reward you. And when you pray, do not babble like the heathen, since they think that they will be heard because of their many words. However, do not be like them, because your Father knows what you need before you ask him." This is the word of God. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There once was a little girl who just couldn't wait to grow up and be a world-famous pianist. And she could play a song, just one song, Chopsticks. Maybe you've heard of it before. It's a good one, but it's quite simple. And try as she might, she couldn't seem to expand her horizons. She just loved that Chopsticks too much. And her parents decided at some point they were going to really train her, make sure she could learn how to pray, how to play piano. So they knew of a maestro, actually, in town, and they drove her to her first lesson. It was all arranged, and the butler ushered them into the parlor where there was this great, big, beautiful concert grand piano. And the little girl dashed over to the piano bench and sat down and played that song she knew so well, Chopsticks. The parents looked at each other a little embarrassed, because as she clubbed notes, it wasn't even so much that she wasn't that good yet. It was that she didn't seem to realize that she wasn't that good at this instrument. Is it possible that we aren't so good at the instrument of prayer? Yeah, there's got to be one in a series where we talk about misconceptions, and that's my assignment tonight. Between what Pastor Horn and I arranged, misconceptions about prayer. But I didn't make that up. It actually comes from, well, I suppose St. Paul, who said in Romans chapter 8 that you don't know what to ask for, but the Spirit prays for you with groans that words can't express. It's almost like he's saying you really don't know what you're doing when you pray. James says it more pointedly to the people who read his book. He says, when you ask for something, you don't get it because you ask with wrong motives. But neither of them made it up either. We heard it before from Jesus himself. Now Jesus, when he talked about prayer and what not to do, he used the word hypocrite. Don't be like the hypocrites, because they stand out in the open in the synagogues or in the street, because they want people to watch them pray. And hypocrites is actually a really good word for this. A few weeks back, we talked a little bit about what hypocrites means. The word literally means under a mask. It was the word they used for actors. That's what a hypocrite was. And so it translates pretty well when you talk about religious things. People who pretend to be a Christian, or people who pretend to be pretty great and pretty godly, they're people acting. And the word used here for rogues, where they go and stand, is like the broad path, the big, wide place most trafficked. So it's almost like a Broadway performance. You've got Pharisees or Sadducees or whoever else, these church leaders that he's talking about, the hypocrites, would go out and do this Broadway performance of prayer and assume that this must be so great and must be so good simply because they have spectators. They have that might not be how you pray. That would be praying lovely. But I do think, in our day and age, sometimes prayer can turn into a little bit of a spectator sport. And sometimes people think that if people know I pray, then it makes Sometimes people make a show about the fact that they are praying. And it's a danger. Because it misconstrues what prayer is all about. And why God gave us that important, special tool of prayer. That amazing instrument. So we couldn't even wrap our minds around it. I don't think we'll even understand in heaven how God could hear every prayer and know which ones to deny because of faithlessness and knew which ones to listen to because they came by faith alone. But Jesus knows. And what Jesus tells us is that this is one long way to pray. The hypocrites also received their full reward when they prayed. There wasn't any reward to come. The reward was there in the praise and awe that they received from their onlookers and spectators. Just think how frightening that would be. If that's how you pray, God is saying, you don't get the promises. I will grant you whatever you ask in my name according to my will. Just think, you wouldn't get the assurance of this forgiveness. That wouldn't be there for those who went out and prayed hypocritically like this. And although public prayer is important in church, in a family devotion, or at mealtime, St. Paul even says, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer. At its core, prayer is really a private thing. It's a heart-to-heart talk with God. And so Jesus does describe it. His hearers go into an inner room, and they close the door. And not only does this allow you to get away from the distractions of the world, not only is it just because it makes sense, but it gives you a chance to pour out your heart and soul to God, your Father. It's really a very private thing. That's how Jesus instructs us to pray. Another problem with praying is asking with wrong motives because we ask with our own merits or simply assume that our prayers are good because we said them. And here he talks about heathens who babble and prattle and think they're going to be heard by their many words. So the more words I say, the greater hearing I have with God. Maybe if I say this prayer 100 times over, then God will finally hear me on prayer number 100 of the same formula. And the word for prattle or Babylon really just means to say it without thinking. It means to enumerate words and not really know. The false premise here is that maybe by my great number, by my great amount of prayers, then God will possibly hear me. The false premise is one based on works, isn't it? The idea that if I enumerate the works of prayer, well then maybe God will finally hear me. Maybe God will finally answer, and it will be in the way that I prefer. So, while it's not a sin to repeat a prayer that maybe you said last week, the sin is not really thinking about what you're saying and not resting your prayers on the same person that we Christians rest everything, our Savior Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. But instead, resting our prayers on how many times we can say it or by the very act of praying. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful to know that as many times as we haven't prayed well, or as many times that we've sinned by praying thoughtlessly, that prayer isn't heard based on our works? Wouldn't it be wonderful to know that prayer is received in heaven on the basis of anything that we Christians say or do, on the basis of faith alone in Jesus Christ? Doesn't that lift a great burden off of your shoulders? Because Jesus Christ would not be denied. And if you pray on the name of Jesus Christ, if you pray on the basis of what He has done for us at the cross, His sufferings, His merits, His blood. In fact, if we pray on the basis of the fact that He prayed the perfect prayers and He was heard because of His godly fear, we're told in Hebrews chapter 5. Well, then God wouldn't dare deny your prayers. Would God dare deny your prayers? Not when they're said in faith. He might as well deny His own Son's prayers. because with him he is well pleased. And by faith, we are the very children of God. He would never deny a prayer said based on faith, on the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It kind of reminds me of a parlor where a little girl was playing. And her parents started over to pull her off the bench and say, no, we're not going to play chopsticks here. We're going to wait for the maestro. But before they got there, the maestro came into the parlor from a back room. And he encouraged that little girl to keep playing chopsticks as he sat down on the bench. And then all of a sudden, some extra chords, some nice runs, some beautiful arpeggios, until all of a sudden, it was this fantastic duet, and the parents couldn't hear their ears because it was still just chopsticks. They smiled, not because of their little girl anymore, but because of the maestro and how accepting and welcoming he was of their little girl who couldn't do it right, but who sounded just wonderful, just beautiful, because of the maestro. I think that's a good way to think of our prayers. We're not going to know exactly what to pray. Sometimes it's just going to be implorings and sighs and groans and weak hearts. We don't know what to say. But we've got our maestro alongside us. We've got the Spirit expressed in groans that we couldn't possibly repeat in words before God the Father. We've got our Savior Jesus Christ, and our prayers ride on his merits all the way to heaven. And it's not so much what Jesus has done with us that makes this count. It's the fact that Jesus went to the cross without us, in our place, as our substitute.